I'm here at the Aberdare's Country Club and Sanctuary in Nyeri County in the Republic of Kenya. And we continue our discussions on the continent of Africa. And today we discuss a subject that is significant, decolonizing the mind. You know, when the colonizers came, one of the things that they dealt with is the mind. And one only has to look at a movie called Roots by Alex Haley and the story of a young African born in Jufure village in the Gambia called Kunta Kinte. When he's removed from the Gambia, the very first thing that they do is to change his name from Kunta Kinte to Toby, and they beat him up. One must also remember that the colonial project was one that was meant to take away your history. And it is in this regard that we must understand when anthropologists said that the flag followed the cross, so that even Christianity as a religion was an instrument in impacting the minds of Africans. And when, therefore, in 1933, Carter G. Woodson writes in the United States of America, "Miseducation of the Negro," he could well be saying miseducation of Africans. When Martin Luther King Jr. is speaking at Barat High School in 1967, and he's talking about your life's blueprint and telling young Africans, don't straighten your hair, don't lighten your skin, he's telling them that indeed your mind has been impacted in a negative way. The colonial project was about creating people who are made in the image of the colonizer. And even when we regained independence through a process of decolonization, the process was not complete. In fact, you must remember that when the French were leaving, they even had a pact for the continuation of colonization. And they created an organization called La Francophonie. In 1958, during the administration of Charles de Gaulle in France, when former French Africans were allowed to either become independent in quotes within the French community, it is only one African leader, Ahmed Sékou Touré of Guinea, who said, "We prefer liberty in poverty rather than riches in enslavement." That was the beginning of trying to decolonize the minds. Here in Kenya, we remember the activities of the Mau Mau and how the Mau Mau were clear in their mind. Individuals such as Dedan Kimathi Washiuri were killed essentially because they were conscious that regaining political independence without more did not take us very far. And that is how the late Ngugi wa Thiong'o writes about decolonizing the mind, because it is the mind that is the standard of the man. And if we don't decolonize it, you can have what you claim to be freedom, but you are still enslaved. That is how I understand Patrice Emery Lumumba when he writes in prison at Thisville to his wife and says, "I look to the day when the story of the people of Congo will be told by the Congolese." That is how I understand Robert Mangaliso Sobukwe in South Africa when he says that from where I sit, there is only one race, the human race, and that race can only be sustained if all of us have liberated our minds. That is how I understand Bantu Stephen Biko. That is how I understand, therefore, Kwame Nkrumah when he writes in his book, "Neocolonialism, the Last Stage of Imperialism." So when we talk about decolonization, we must remember that the colonizer's comfort not only demands, but requires that our minds are captured. Indeed, there is one British thinker who said, that when you control a man or a woman's mind, you do not worry about his or actions. You can predict it. And being conscious of that, what efforts then must we make in order to decolonize Africa? One of the things that we must do is to look at our politics. John Henry Clark, that famous African-American, once said that when African countries regained their independence, each one of them, without exception, adopted systems of government that were inherited from their colonizers. And he goes on to add, none of them will ever succeed on the basis of those systems. And look at my mother continent. Look at the conflict in Sudan. Look at the conflict in southern Sudan. Look at the conflict in Somalia. Look at the conflict in northern Mozambique. Look at the conflict in southern Cameroon. Look at the post-election violence that we witness in countries such as Kenya. Every election cycle is because we were told that we must have multi-party politics, which are ethnic-driven and corruption-driven, and Africa can never realize our potential. We are in a permanent state of conflict. We must decolonize our politics. Look at our education. The education system that was given to many African countries was designed to create clerks, to create laborers. That is why 60 plus years after independence, when those who are in position of leadership as politicians, when they have money, they don't take their children to the education system in our countries. No, they don't. When they are sick, they don't allow themselves to be treated in Africa. When they want to keep their stolen money, they don't keep it in Africa. They keep it in Panama. They keep it in the Cayman Islands. They keep it in Dubai. They keep it in Doha. They keep it in Bahrain because their minds are not decolonized. We must also decolonize the way we do things, how we run our affairs, how we run our economies. How is it that we are still, when you want to know about the Kenyan economy, it is the IMF, it's the World Bank, it's Moody's that must tell you how moody the Kenyan shilling is. When you want to look at our economy, you go to a petrol station in Luanda in Angola, or in Bangui in Central African Republic, or in Ouagadougou in Burkina Faso, or Accra, Ghana, and you want to buy anything, it is Visa or American card that you use, not Afro. When you board an aeroplane, whether it's Kenya Airways or Ethiopian Airlines, when you are buying anything, what they ask for is the dollar, not the Ethiopian birr, not the Kenyan shilling, nor the Ghanaian cedi, or the Nigerian naira, or the Angolan kwanza. We must decolonize our economies. When you are looking at our news and you want to know what has happened anywhere in the world, it is Xinhua from France, it is Agen France, it is the Radio Deutsche Welle, it is Al Jazeera, it is CNN. It is what we have to look at. We must decolonize our news. When we want to dress, we don't dress African. We must wear suits from Italy. We must wear shoes from Italy. We must wear wigs, even in our courts, from the United Kingdom. When we talk about holidays, we must talk about reindeer, which you don't find in Africa. Our Father Christmas is dressed in clothes and riding reindeers. We must decolonize our religion. This is how far decolonization must go, because a friend of mine told me when I was agonizing over this, and he told me, your limitation is that you talk decolonization, you never talk decoloniality. I now know better. Decolonization was the structural removal or departure of the colonizer, but decoloniality now talks to removing the vestiges of the impact of colonization. So it is Samora Moises Machel who, when talking about decolonization, wondered. He said, when I speak to some Africans, they are proud because they were colonized by the French. They are proud because they were colonized by the English. They were proud because they were colonized by the Belgians. But they are not proud of us because we were colonized by the Portuguese, which was the poorest European country. And he said, that is stupidity at its worst. It's like comparing and asking which slave master is better than the other. They are all slave masters. So as we talk about making Africa to rise again, Africa to regain her glory, the project of decolonization must start with our minds. It is when we change our minds, it must be about our education. What do we teach our young men and women in our schools? What history do we teach? Do we teach them about the longest rivers in Europe? Do we tell them that Lake Lolwe is still Lake Victoria? Do we tell them that the lakes must be named, that the Victoria Falls is not Mosiotunya? We must decolonize the continent of Africa. We must rename all the roads that bear colonial names. We must rename all the monuments that bear colonial names. We must rename, and even our names, we must rethink about some of these names. This idea that when you are Christian, when you are baptized, you cannot be Kamau or Njoroge, you must be John. You must not be Kwame, you must be Emmanuel. These ideas must be dropped. It is only then that the world will be able to understand and appreciate Africa as the cradle of human civilization. Decolonization must happen at all levels. It must happen at all levels, and I can't emphasize more. It is in education, it is in health, it is in the economy, it is in our military, it is in the way we dress, it is in the food we eat, it is in the languages we speak. That is why when we speak in English, we know that time is coming when English will be a medium of communication, but Kiswahili will be the lingua franca, because the time is now that we must be understood for who we are. We have lived a false life for too long. Our minds have been captured for too long. And we must now exorcise the ghost of colonization and regain who we are, because it is only when we do that that we will have restored our self-esteem, we'll have restored our confidence, and when we restore our confidence, we'll have completely exorcised the ghost of neocolonialism and colonialism. Ngugi wa Thiong'o is right. We must decolonize Africa. We must decolonize our minds. Thank you very much. We continue our discussions about the continent of Africa, but let us take a long break to see each other during the next episode. Thank you very much.